Welcome back, Arrested Development, and we're going to jump into our conversation here. On the way there, I'll remind you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. For more information, www.mecu.com, or you can just jump on to steinershow.org. On the web and click on its banner on our website, MeQ, Baltimore's Credit Union. So the city council passed just two opposing votes. One of those opposing votes is in the studio. A bill to implement a curfew for our young people in Baltimore City. And there's a lot of controversy over this bill, over this whole question of this curfew. So we're going to wrestle with this here today. I mean, Baltimore has some form of curfew for years. If the kids of 17 years old can stay out till 11 p.m. on weekends and midnight on weekends and 11 p.m. on weekdays. I have that right? Midnight on weekends, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's been changed to a more complex law that also allows for kids could be picked up and taken to a center, and parents could be fined $300 to $500. So all that is in this new bill that we will wrestle with our guests. Councilman Mayor Pat Clark, who represents the 14th District, is chair of the Education Committee, voted yes on the bill.
Actually, I was absent, but I agreed to come and speak in favor of it today.
Yes. So you are in favor.
I haven't voted yet.
Oh, gotcha.
But
sorry.
I plan to vote for it.
Okay. Thanks for correcting that.
Thank you.
And Councilman Carl Stokes, who voted no
yes.
on the bill, he represents the 12th District and Baltimore City Council, chairman of the Taxation, Finance, and Economic Development Committee. Jason Teixeira joins us by phone. Do I have your last name pronounced correctly, Jason? Teixeira?
Teixeira.
Teixeira, excuse me. Teixeira is a juvenile. It's you.
It's me.
My sorry. Teixeira is Juvenile Justice Policy Director for Advocates for Children and Youth. Sometimes I move too quickly and don't know where I am. But on the phone is Deshaun Batson, whose name I did pronounce correctly, who's Youth Commissioner and represents the 13th District in Baltimore City. And Deshaun, good to have you on the show as well.
Thank you for having me, sir.
410-319-8888 is the number here to join in on this conversation. We want to see how you feel about this issue. We really wanted to hear your thoughts. Now, talk very quickly, if we could, for the two of you, why you will be voting yes and why you voted no. Mary Pat.
I am voting yes primarily because I was able to work with the sponsor, Councilman Brandon Scott, to broaden the hours in which retail establishments cannot serve on school days, cannot serve persons, youth subject to the curfew. So that right now, by the way, there is a curfew and has been a curfew for decades
yes,
in Baltimore
I said
City.
That, I said that
right,
that.
I know
right.
you did. I just wanted to repeat that. But right now, the establishment curfew starts at 9 o'clock in the morning. Well, almost every school is in session by that time. So, in effect, a lot of my schools, especially with the younger children, say, what can we do? First of all, the kids are coming late because they stop at these establishments on the way. Secondly, we have a breakfast program here, but they're buying potato chips instead. So basically, we were able to make those hours earlier so that they start at 7:30 a.m. and go till 3 p.m. So right now they're 9 to 2:30, and they will be 7:30 a.m. to daytime school curfew from 7:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. So basically to protect the younger kids and to keep, get them to school on time, which attendance is a huge issue.
And Carl, you voted no.
I did.
One of the two council people to vote no.
Yes, because I think that the conversation and the action are in the wrong places. Absolutely. I think, I don't even know what the goal of this is. A curfew, we already have a curfew, as you said already. And now at 9 o'clock when the sun goes down in July, families are sitting outside on the steps with the young people, as I did my entire youth. Now we're saying that the police will sweep through the street and pick up.
Not off your front sidewalk or front porch or steps. And it's right in the law that they are exempt.
Okay. So it will happen. this is just Carl. This is an inner city black kid, poor kid, bill for me. That's what it is for me. Instead of doing that, I think that we should be more proactive. You know, first of all, no data exists. The data exists. It doesn't say that young people are out at 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning committing crime. When crime is committed by juveniles, it's right after school. It's that period from 3 to 8 p.m. where if we have a much more proactive we should be making sure that all young people have places to be, to have a longer academic day, to have a greater social interaction day, to have a recreation period of time. And some young people obviously need jobs also to help support themselves, unfortunately, in some cases, their family. We should be proactive in having opportunities for young people to be involved in life-affirming, social, strong interaction, rather than trying to police through and having our young people have to interact in a negative way with police officers. That's not the way we do it. We had police athletic leagues going on at some time, and then a particular commissioner comes along and said, we're not social workers. We don't have to have athletic leagues. We don't have to have recreation leagues. We don't have to interact with the community and children in that positive sort of way. I think that I'm not fighting what folk want to do about a curfew. I don't know what country we live in anymore where we're taking people off the street at 9 o'clock and saying you can't do it, because this is a inner city bill. I can't help but go there over and over again, because no one's going to, and it's going to be selectively enforced. They're not going to be taking kids off the street in some neighborhoods, and this is not the way we should be going in our city. We should be working with young people. What kids need, I'm sorry, I'm wrapping it up, are family services. It's better that we put family service people and social workers on our streets in the evening and interact with young people and their families that way. The kids who are on the street late at night, very late, are either neglected or homeless. That's who the majority of those kids are.
They're also victims.
Just wait a second. Let me go to the other guests. Let's go to Deshaun, and then Jason will come right back.
That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah. Okay. Jason? I mean, Deshaun, then Jason. Sorry.
Well, I actually just want to say, as being a Baltimore City Youth Commissioner, I am actually in full support of it. For the last 4 years, I've worked the Curfew Center at 200 North Avenue, and I've seen our young people. But I just have to say that I really believe that there, nothing good can come out of a 13-year-old being outside after 9 p.m. I mean, just let's just be honest about it. We're actually putting them in a high risk of either being a victim to crime or perpetrating a crime. So we really have to work around the process of trying to figure out what can we do. I mean, if we really think about it and look at it, with the Connection Center this year, we're going to have wraparound services. Of course, a lot of our young kids that are going to be picked up may not be doing anything wrong. But, for example, you know, if a young child is in a house because it's hot and they happen to come out and get on the steps and run around the corner for some kind of way, and they happen to get picked up by the curfew van, they're brought to the center and we'll be able to evaluate them and ask them, why the reason why you're here? Maybe they're here because the house is hot. Then we'll be able to go through some kind of process to maybe get them an air conditioner. Or maybe we have a young person who is interacting with substance abuse. Maybe they need some kind of counseling. We'll be able to wrap around that service and give them what they need. So I'm actually in full support of it.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's all right. I think that we're all on the same page, that the priority for all of us is safety for kids in Baltimore City. The question is whether or not this is the way to go about it. And as Councilman Stokes points out, the data simply isn't there. National studies have shown us time and time again that curfew does not decrease youth crime and it does not decrease youth victimization. I think that curfew laws are very similar to the phrase tough on crime. They sound good, but the implication of the law is bad. I think Councilman Stokes is right to point out that the efficacy of the bill will be very selective in certain neighborhoods. There's not necessarily going to be the same enforcement that you see in Rowan Park, that you see in Edmonton Village. And this is something that Councilman Scott, the writer of this bill and sponsor of this bill, said last fall in a Baltimore Sun article. I mean, we all know exactly how the enforcement of this bill is going to go. And lastly, it's an efficacy issue. Is this the right place to put police attention in a city that has a pretty significant crime problem? And at the end of the day, I think we can all agree that police officers are not best suited to be social workers. They're best there to be policemen, and we should let them do that. And this bill does not allow for that.
Let me just say on about Councilman Scott's considerations about this bill. I've talked to him at length and over time. And one of the things, Councilman Scott travels around his district day and night. And one of the things that inspired him and brought him to this bill, by the way, let me point out, we've had a curfew. This bill takes away the criminal penalties that have been the law for decades, removed at the request of the president of the city council. But so they're off the table, which is another reason I'm for this. But the other thing is, Councilman Scott talked about children 4 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, at 2 a.m. that he sees running the streets in the street in his district, which is Councilman DeDamo's old district out in East Northeast Baltimore, and how alarmed he is and concerned because there's no adults around. Now, you know, he's trying to do what he can around that, which is why the 14, younger than 14 curfew rule was introduced, which is new, which is, say, 9 p.m. For under 14, it is now 9 p.m., and that's all about those little kids, those young kids that are out, like, not just after 9 o'clock, after midnight.
So, go ahead, Carl. I have some questions I want to bring up here.
I don't think there are dozens of 2- and 4-year-old children running the streets at 2 a.m. I didn't say thousands. Dozens, I'm saying.
It could be one child.
But then that's a separate issue that should be addressed there. But they're not dozens of children who are 2 and 4 years old running around the streets unsupervised.
Some questions about this bill. I'm going to see how you all respond to this. So I agree that the penalties were taken out of this bill.
The criminal
issue, which I think is important, but the fines were raised to $500. Now we're talking about, if this happens, it's going to happen in neighborhoods where people are working class, poor working class people,
right.
And that's a lot of money. I mean, a $500 fine for a family is a huge amount of money. I mean, you know, if you took a kid off the street,
I apologize.
Everybody who's reported on this says that
here's the bill.
Well, I don't have time to read the whole bill right now.
But it's not a fine.
Baltimore Brew, the Baltimore Sun, the Afro-American all have the same line. The legislation increases penalties to $500, but they could be waived if parents and children attend counseling sessions provided by the city.
Oh, wait a minute.
It's there.
It's there. It's a part of the legislation. It's bumped up from $300 to $500. So while the criminal penalty may be gone and the parent can no longer spend time in jail for their child breaking the curfew, they will be struck with a fairly significant fine.
Oh, it went from $300 to $500.
It
went from $300 to $500. It's $300 today.
Right.
But it cannot be any more than that. But there is no – they struck – the current imprisonment, for heaven's sakes, for 60 days, which should have been struck 25 years ago.
No question, that's good.
And they substituted community service.
Jason, finish what you were saying. What?
But the fine is still out of proportion with what the problem is. One of the big problems with curfew or tough-on-crime laws is that you cast this huge net on a broad population that might not be doing anything wrong. One study in Connecticut took 400 curfew violation cases. 2 of them were actually committing a crime while violating curfew.
That's not the point. From my perspective, it's not about preventing crime. It's about protecting children, young children, who are on their own at night.
And those same studies show that curfew laws, when compared across jurisdictions across this country, do not push down victimization of youth. They just don't.
So,
well, if you're not there, you can't be injured by it randomly.
Well, let's take a quick break. We'll come right back. Leo and Charles, two callers up. We will get back to Deshaun Batson because he has to leave in 15 minutes, wherever he has to go. But so we want to get back to his voice as well. 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. What do you think about the curfew bill just passed by the city council? Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and we are here with Jason Tesche, who is Juvenile Justice Policy Director at Advocates for Children and Youth, Deshaun Batson, Youth Commissioner representing the 13th District in the Baltimore City, Councilman Carl Stokes, who represents the 12th District as a City Councilman and is Chair of Taxation, Finance, Economic Development Committee, and voted no. Councilman Mary Pat Clark, who is going to vote yes, represents the 14th District, and is Chair of the Education Committee. The number here is 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Tweet me at Mark Steiner. Log on to our Facebook pages. And Leo, you're on the air at 410-319-8888.
Yes, good morning. Mark Steiner.
Leo, I know which Leo this is, and I owe you a phone call, but I will make that. Go ahead, Leo.
And Carl Stokes, Mary Pat Clark, and everybody. Let me run through my concerns.
Hi, Mr. Barrows.
Hi.
How you doing? Let me run through my concerns quickly. This law, in my judgment, targets the poor and black inner-city residents primarily. There are those who are going to say that's not true. I don't agree. How long can our children be held in selective detention under the provisions of this law? These are detention centers. And are we going to match up those students who are held in detention with summer job placements? We might as well talk about that as well, because they need jobs that will help them to design and focus on where they're going to go in the future. The existing curfew law was never enforced even-handedly. There was a law. We had curfew a long time ago. Never enforced even-handedly or effectively. And when you start talking about kids coming late to school, the state law a long time ago should have been broadened to mandate parental accountability in that regard, and it has not been, was not. And, of course, they played the game on the principals of the schools and said they were responsible. No, the parents were responsible. People on welfare are being targeted, and quite frankly, the mayor's attitude is appalling. I saw her on TV last night making a statement that if they don't like the law, they can move out on a farm. Did I not see that? Yes, she said it, and I don't understand that kind of brash arrogance on her part. So, again, this is an attack on our young people. It should not be, and it's all akin, Mark, to this dirt bike business, where they're not trying to help them do anything constructively with regard to dirt bikes, and they're using this as a vehicle to attack young people. It should not be. We need to use intelligent psychology in how we address the needs of our young people instead of criminalizing everything every time we can.
Leo, always good to hear from you. I appreciate it. And you did say, you did call out Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake. She actually just called in. She's on the line. She can respond to that herself and give
what
us
I
her thoughts.
To say,
yes.
Arrogance is appalling.
Oh, let the mayor come on. Mayor Rawlings Blake, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Oh, good to be here.
Good morning, Mr.
Morning.
Good morning.
So your thoughts on what you just heard and what you want to say about this bill, Mayor Blake, Mayor Rawlings Blake.
What I just heard, what do you mean?
Where one of the city residents saying that he was appalled at the quote that was given to you. That if kids want to stay out all night, they could move to a farm.
Well, the fact of the matter is, what I said was, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's letting your children run amok, whether it's playing your music loud, when you decide that you want to live in the city, when you decide that you want to do things where what your personal behavior has an impact on your community, if you don't want that, then you can't live you can't live in a community, an urban environment. You can't play your music all night long. You can't have your kids running around. You cannot do things that interferes with the enjoyment of other people, and you cannot put your children at risk or put them in a position where they are putting other people at risk. It's common sense.
So tell me your thoughts about this bill. I know that's why you're calling. You really want to just talk about what you...
Yeah, I think people are focused on the they're saying it's criminalization. No, when you have a young person that's out that time of night, it is, for people who have not experienced it, for people who haven't actually been to the curfew center that we operate in the summer, they're talking about it in principle. I'm talking about it in reality. In reality, we have 6, 7, 8 years old that are out the street unsupervised, 12 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock at night. This is not about criminalizing them. This is about getting them into a safe place and then bringing that responsible adult in and trying to identify what resources this family needs so they don't put their children in harm's way. I don't have any interest in making their parents a criminal or, making them feel like a criminal. I have all of the interest in protecting our young people and keeping them safe. This is all this is about. And if that's arrogant, I'll be arrogant because I am interested in making sure our children are safe, and I don't mind saying it.
So some people have argued here that the money might be better spent in keeping rec centers open later and putting people on the streets who can actually address and talk to families when they see kids, as opposed to involving the police in picking up kids and taking them to a center.
I do not believe on a school night a rec center needs to be open at 9 or 10 o'clock at night. We expect our children to be in school ready to learn in the morning. We cannot do that and say that our rec center should be open at 10 o'clock. It doesn't make common sense.
So, and what about the argument people say this is not the government's responsibility to tell parents what to do with their children, how late their children should be sitting on the steps, walking to the store, coming back, and that this will be focused more on kids who live in poor working class black neighborhoods. Kids in even neighborhoods like Forest Park or Roland Park are not going to be the kids that are going to be picked up and brought to a center.
This is about connecting young children who are in unsafe environments and trying to get the resources that those families need to keep them safe. I think it is, again, when people who haven't dealt with this are talking about it, they're talking about it in theory. Oh, this is, in theory, a parent has a right to do whatever they want to with their child. If you have to sit there and look at a six-year-old that's coming in because they've been wandering around on the street unsupervised, hungry, at 1 o'clock in the morning, you tell me that a parent has a right to do that to their child? They do not. They do not. We have to step
Amen.
In as a community. As a community, we have to step in as a community and keep our young people safe. And if a parent has trouble, we need to identify that parent and identify the resources they need. It's not okay for a child to be out roaming around on the streets. We cannot accept that as reality, as okay. We cannot accept that as this is okay for a parent to do. It is not. We need to keep our children safe. We need, and if you want to make it about rec centers, it can be about rec centers. We're opening new rec centers. We have a capital plan for that. That's during the daytime. That's not what I'm talking about. This is on school nights and on the weekends, making sure that our children are safe when they need to be in the care of a responsible adult.
And so let me just jump in. Oh, go ahead.
Okay, Mayor Rawlings Blake, I didn't know if you were staying or going or what you had to do right now. I didn't want to just interrupt you. Rude.
I have a short time, do you want to do questions or what do you want to do?
Can I just say one thing before my colleague speaks? Basically, there is nothing. Basically, the criminal penalties have been taken out because of this legislation and community service substituted. That's one thing. So the criminal activities, the criminal penalties are gone.
We said that already.
I said it already. I needed to say it again because it was mentioned.
And secondly,
it's a mistake to say that there's anything in this law that requires police to take the children to some center at all.
You said what, Mayor?
I said she's mentioning it because people are incorrectly citing what the law is doing. They are making it about a criminal penalty, and it has nothing to do with that.
It took it out after all these years.
With the focus of getting these young people connected to services, which is all that this is about. And people are trying to put out wrong information to give the wrong impression about what the council was interested in and what I am interested in, which is to give these families support. We know we have families that are in need. We know we have families that don't have the adequate resources. I'm not going to turn a blind eye to it.
And let me just very quickly, Jason, you had something to say, and I want to hear what Deshaun had to say and come back to the council before.
Sure.
Well, and two quick points is that, one, when you have the cops picking up these kids to enforce the curfew law, it's very hard for this to not appear criminal to a child, whether or not the law says so or not. You're still increasing interaction with police and youth. And secondly, as far as these children getting services are concerned, there's no demonstrable need that just because a child is out late that they are in need of family counseling, which is a very nebulous term used in this piece of legislation.
No, they're parents. Not they don't need the counseling,
but there's no indication that that's actually what's going on. A kid sneaks out doesn't. If my parents had to go to counseling for every time I snuck out as a child, I don't think they'd ever go to work. There's not necessarily a reason that they've done anything particularly wrong. Kids will be kids.
And let me, Deshaun, I know you have to go, so give me a quick thought, then we're going to turn back to the mayor and to Councilman Stokes.
I just want to say, no one will really understand what it's like being in the curfew center, day in and day out, if you've never been there. But if you've been there, you just seeing a 6-year-old and a 7-year-old come in because they were out walking with their 12-year-old cousin or their 14-year-old cousin is completely unacceptable. But like all last year when the young people were coming in, we had a young man that came in and said that he was outside playing football because his mother was an alcoholic and he did not want to be in the house. So when we have young people that are coming into the curfew centers like that, this is the stuff that we should understand and this is the stuff that we should see so we'll know what we need to work with. But if our young kids aren't being picked up and aren't being brought to the curfew center, how will we even know what they're going with at home if they're not going to the school? Speaking about it, so at some point in time, we have to step in to keep our kids safe.
Deshaun, I know you have to run. I'm not sure if it's going back to school or what, but I appreciate you being with us. Deshaun Batson, who is a youth commissioner, was here with us. The mayor, Stephen Rawlings-Blake, is with us on by phone. Just called in. I deeply appreciate that. Call a quick thought before we return to the mayor and one of our callers.
Sure. I just want to say that the mayor, Councilwoman Scott, and Mary Pat Clark and myself, we all have the same goals. We're on the same page in regard to this, quite frankly. We are. But let me mention that 2- and 4-year-old kids wandering around the street without a law ought to be picked up. They ought to be taken to the home. They ought to find out what's happening. You don't need a put the kids under house arrest at 9 o'clock at night to accomplish that. That's common sense. You see kid wandering around. He's 2 years old, 4 years old. Yes, you're going to intervene there. Again, I'm not fighting with the law. I'm saying let's be more proactive in what we're trying to do here. Let's give kids things to do, not at 10, 11 o'clock at night, but if we give them good recreation, good schools, good after schools, they will be tired enough at 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock that they'll go to bed on their own so they can get up in the next.
Some of these kids don't have beds. Some of these kids don't have beds. That's why they're out there, Councilman. You are talking out of both sides of your mouth. You are fighting against it because you're not acknowledging the fact that we have families in need, and this is how we identify them. It's plain and simple. We know that we have kids in need, and we are doing everything we can. Not just
no, we're not doing not everything we can. I don't know. You just broke in. Let's be civil. Can we be civil, please?
And what do you suggest we do with a child that's out after six, a 6-year-old that's out at 1 o'clock in the morning?
That is a question. So what do we do? I mean, let me just read this. I'd like to ask the rest of that for a moment. So what are our thoughts?
Take them home.
So
Deborah writes in, I'm listening to your show about the curfew issue. Please don't forget that there are also many poor white communities in Baltimore City where the white kids are robbing, selling drugs, and causing trouble. I live in one of them and have been robbed by one of them and can look out my window and see them selling drugs. Please don't make this into a black issue. It's about children, period. And she capitalized children.
Right.
So
no one said black. We said inner city. We said poor neighborhoods.
No, it was said. And you and I both know.
Sure.
We both represent communities.
Right. Absolutely.
So the question was raised, I think, about what we should do with kids who are on the street and kids who are out at 10 o'clock at night, right. 11 o'clock at night. What should be the response? Let's, for argument's sake, say, okay, the curfew is not the way to go. Just for a minute.
Okay.
Just for a
what?
Second. So what is the response? As the mayor just said, what should our response
be? First of all, there are different kids. There are different kids and different families. And there are families who are outside late at night with their children and the families are
and
there.
And that's allowed.
Right. And then there are kids
that are out by themselves at 1 o'clock in the morning.
And that's a different thing to gather.
Mayor, you want to go?
And we would like to know, I would like to hear from you, Councilman, that what do we do with that child? What do we do with that 6-year-old that's out at 1 o'clock?
You do the common sense thing.
And I'm waiting to hear what that is from you.
Again, if we could be civil. We intervene and take that child to his home, first of all, with a, not necessarily the police, but you can do the police, but the police should call family services and social workers to come over.
And you know where their social workers are? They're at the Connection Center.
Okay.
But there's nothing that they in can't this come, law
and
that
they can't
says
come over
you
to the
have
home?
To take the child to the center.
Because that is the best use of resources to have.
Right. And then, of, but you could take the child
to the social worker. Instead of having the social worker sit at one place and have the young people come to them, let's run the social workers around the city all night long.
Right. Instead, let's send the kid over there without the family and have that interaction happen with the kid who's scared and doesn't know what's going on. Yeah, you're right. Do it that way. Send the kid to a place.
So let me jump in the middle here. I mean, a lot of people have called in who really want to comment on this, who both support and some do not support this, but who are calling in now. And Mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake, I don't know what your time frame is, and I'm sorry that...
I have about 2 more minutes.
Okay, good. Let's get a call in here. And I know you called in, I think it was one-on-one, but there's a huge panel, so I apologize for those in miscommunication.
Yes, it is fine.
Okay. 410-319-8888 is the number here. And let us go to... let's see, who is this? Who's holding on? Darren, you're on the air.
Good morning. Well, let's be clear. This is a public health issue. And I have students or daughters that attend Margaret Brent Elementary School. And what's been happening up there is a public health issue. I haven't seen anybody from the city health department. I've seen Councilman Stokes there. I haven't seen the mayor there. I haven't seen counselors there to talk to the young people. That's an EPA, environmental hazard there, in terms of the enormous amount of dust and dust particles, children walking to school, going out for recess. So we're neglecting our children in the city of Baltimore, and now rather than give them the public health issue, we're turning it into a police issue. And right. Mind you, this is the same police department where you have some that were kidnapping boys, taking them to Howard County. It's not a police issue, and we have to stop policing our children. This is a public health issue. And unfortunately, the mayor and city council seem not to have any idea to how to really deal with this issue of our young people. Don't wait till June to find out children don't have air conditioning in their home. Don't wait till June to find out children don't have a fan in their home. It's like waiting until the wintertime to find out a child doesn't have a coat. This is why you have a city health department. This is why you have Operation Safe Street. Those workers can go out and do that work, as well as having a couple of Winnebagos that can go to the 9 different districts in the police district and go into those communities to find out what do the parents and what do the children need before the summertime.
So, Darren, let me let the mayor respond since you've had, because she only has a couple of minutes. Mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake? Mayor Rawlings, you there?
That's
all right.
We all want the same thing, for our young people to be safe. This is about trying to put those resources in place to support families in need. When you have a child that is out late at night, unsupervised, that is a sign of a family in need. This is not about criminalization. This is about getting those supports in place so we can keep our children safe. That is the beginning of it, and that is the end of it.
Mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake, I really appreciate you calling in and being part of the program and interacting with our citizens and council members and advocates. And thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Good. Take care.
That was Mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake. Let's go back to the phones and go back to our guests here at 410-319-8888. And Eugene, you're on the air. Eugene, you're on the air.
Let's go back to the phones and go back to our guests here at 410-319-8888.
Eugene, are you there?
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Well, okay, good. Hi everyone.
Hi.
This is for this program. Yes, I'm here.
Well, go ahead. You're on the air.
You hear me?
Yes.
Yes, you're listening
on the air,
to your
Eugene.
Radio. What? Don't listen to your radio, sir.
Yeah, turn off the radio and
okay. Are you there? Okay, well, let's go to Russ. You're on the air.
For you and your guests.
Welcome, Russ.
Hi.
I want to give kudos to Carl Stokes with the idea that he is the councilman in my district, and he took me back to our days of sitting on the front stoops of our mothers and grandmothers' houses and reminding us of the kind of parenting that we got that seemed to be so sorely missing, because a lot of the issues that I hear come down to parenting, and what we need to identify is not kids wandering around the street, but the parents who are allowing this to happen and give them the kind of support that they need. Secondly, let me quickly say that we do not have sufficient activities for kids after school anymore. I was in the East Baltimore Cadets. I was in the Boy Scouts at Fountain Baptist Church. And, I mean, there was just a plethora of activities right. that you could be in that were properly supervised
right.
and that took care of kids up until the time to go home.
Right.
The last thing that I'd like to say, and I want to direct this to the mayor because I think the mayor has good intentions, but I think the mayor has gotten caught up and some ideas that just are no longer relevant in our community. These are cultural differences that you can't address with policing. You've got to find another way to do it. And I would just suggest that what we do is that we go back to letting parents be parents, get the resources into the recreational activities, because this is going to take some money to put the curfew in effect, and let's just come back to a community-oriented kind of approach, because this law enforcement approach, it is not going to work. Thanks, Mark.
Russ, thanks for your call. And I'm sorry that I had to go, but I do deeply appreciate her calling in and being part of the program. And her business is scheduled, because she wasn't scheduled to be on, so I appreciate her calling in and being part of this and dialoguing with us all. But one of the things that Darren raised when he called, and I just curious about this. I mean, A, how much does the curfew center cost? How much does it cost in the city? And if the mayor wants to make it 24/7 for all year long, what will that cost the city? And would the money be better spent? And this is a question I think we should wrestle with. Would the money be better spent on expanding something like safe streets in certain neighborhoods where there is a problem with kids on the street at night so they can address that with families? And B, his idea that maybe we should have these Winnebagos or moving around, social workers moving from neighborhood to neighborhood to sit and talk with families and address stuff where this is coming out rather than make it into adding another layer to our police that already have too much to do in the neighborhood. So our thoughts on that.
Well, the city just recently passed their public safety budget with a $200,000 line in it for the expanded curfew centers in the city. So,
wait a minute.
We didn't pass it.
It's
yet.
Not
we
passed it. Yet. It came. It's in the budget. It's been recommended, and that those hearings will be held.
So
this
it would be $200,000, is what you're saying.
Is where they want to start.
So let's say we have $200,000 to spend. Are the curfew centers where to spend it, or is it where can you spend that money in other ways that might more effectively address the problem in the neighborhoods? Is the question.
I think we get better efficacy. If we actually put counselors in our neighborhoods. So people who knew the young people, the families in the neighborhoods, those folk who currently may work in centers during the day, you know, again, I know we're older. We go back to the rec center leaders who worked the streets, who didn't sit in the rec center. Mary Pat says, speak for yourself, Carl. But not the guys who sit in the rec center. They didn't sit in the rec center. Mr. Wells or Mr. Pick a name. They knew all of the kids in the neighborhood.
In the whole
neighborhood. They knew the parents of the kids in the neighborhood. They could redirect activity of young people. They could protect young people because they knew the kids who were giving other kids grief, and they would say, hey, we don't do that. We don't do that. And I think we would get a greater bang for any buck by having people in the community, whether it's Safe Streets or some other type of organization or pastors or whomever it could be, who worked in the community, worked with kids and families, getting them the services they needed, but not only getting them the services, but also just being the people who had the relationship.
Like what Russ was just saying, too.
Right.
The community-based. And, right. and so this issue will come before the city council. We do our budget hearings on the 27th and the 29th of May. And this will definitely be for us.
27th and 29th of May?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We'll sort of see
I mean, I totally agree with Russ and with my colleague that, yes, the ideal is to get back out to that community-based
sure.
work
right.
and the support services they need
right.
To right. do it. But, you know, that to be continued.
Yeah, to be continued.
To be continued soon.
And I'd like to add on that, and this is, I think, the difference between where the best practices are for helping these kids get services and what the curfew law is. The curfew law is just a broad net that applies to anybody that is out at a certain hour at a certain age. But we know there are certain populations in the city that are out at that time that do actually need services.
Right.
Like the transient youth population or homeless youth population. We know for a fact, at a minimum, these people need a home. Statistically, they probably also need health mental health and substance abuse services as well. Like if we were to target in a particular way to pick on that population and get them the services, we'd see the greatest bang for our buck. Applying supposedly these curfew centers to every 14-year-old or younger in the city that gets picked up, there's no causal link between being out at a certain point and needing mental health
care
or needing social services.
And there's nothing in this law that requires they be taken to any center. The first place is to try to take them home.
410-319-8888. Let's try to get a caller or two, at least one caller. Angel, you're on the air.
Hello. I just want to say that I just don't understand. I fully support what Councilman Scott is trying to do, and I think the mayor was on point. I think that Councilman Stokes, I do live in his district, and I disagree with the other caller that he's intent. I think he just likes to be an opponent of the mayor on any time, and Councilman Scott as well, and any time that he gets an opportunity to. And it just seems like another instance. Yeah, there were times when the whole community knew these kids. But if you spent time in the 12th district, not in Mount Vernon and not, down in Guilford where you live, but if you go into East Baltimore, the heart of East Baltimore, and you deal with these kids, you will understand that no one can get to know these kids because it's a different time. These kids are dealing with different issues that you and I just can't just go and just wrap our arms around. They need real support. And I think that the centers will be one tool in the toolbox to do. It's not going to be one thing that's going to work.
All right, Angel, I appreciate the call, but I'm glad you called in. I'm only cutting in because my producer just said we have like 30 seconds left, and so I have to jump in, and I apologize for that. But if we have a closing thought, very quick. We got like literally 30 seconds.
I think what we're talking about and what has been said is that we need to intervene into the kids' lives and family lives that are in trouble, and that we ought to find ways to be more proactive about what kids can do. So
I've had children in my district that were killed who didn't deserve to be just because they were in the wrong place at the wrong time.
I want to thank Councilwoman Mary Pat Clark, Councilman Carl Stokes, Jason Sashea from Advocates of Children and Youth, earlier Deshaun Batson, Youth Commissioner representing the 13th District, for joining us, and the mayor for calling in. All of you for calling in. I can see this is a really impassioned conversation, and we will come back to this and get more calls in. But it just was with the mayor calling in, we just had just a lot to cover, so I apologize not getting to all your calls. Remind you to join me tonight at 7 o'clock at the Enoch Pratt Library. I'll be interviewing Christopher Leonard about his new book, The Meat Racket, The Secret Takeover of the American Food Business, tonight at the Central Branch at 7 o'clock at the Enoch Pratt Library. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Stephanie Mavronis and Mark Gunnery. And we are Andre Milton is back there engineering. There he is. Alex Boston is our intern. You can go to steinershow.org and download all the information about the shows we talked about today and our programs, or you can go to iTunes get all of our podcasts. And for public radio to be EAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.